Okay, good fuck everybody. We're holding here on page 268. We had done the first part last year, and now we're holding 268 in Parash Vayechi. The first piece is from Abarbanel. The Abarbanel speaks about what is the big inyan of the children of Yosef taking over, becoming Tushvatim. I mean, what's the godless of it? V'omnom, he says, Ma matonish nasi Yaakov liYosef ba'asos esbono shvatim. So what happened that they became shvatim? I mean, as far as the Yerusha goes, it basically didn't make a difference because they would, every single individual would get a piece of land, it would go back to the originals and come back again. So being two shvatim, or one shape, it didn't make a difference. So Barbanel says as follows: Kilafisha Yisrael boni al shem as amudim, erkom b'mitzias ke'erach hashem asal v'shaim imal. So Barbanel says the following, and there's an akeda similar to this: the numbers of the different units of Kal Yisrael are not just b'mikre. In other words, it's not that there were three people that fit the chshivas of avos, and that's why you have to have three avos. Three avos are three units that are absolutely necessary. 12 shvatim are 12 units absolutely necessary. The Maral, in many places when he speaks about 12, the most abstract significance of the word 12 is there are 12 lines that define a cube. A cube has six sides. Any three-dimensional object, really, and there are 12 lines. It's called Gvul Alachsin that define that. So that means the abstract number of 12 is going to find itself as the perimeter and parameters of any entity that's total and full. So where you're going to have Klal Yisrael as a full-bodied nation, including all the different aspects that can contain everything. In other words, you need a minimum of 12 lines to contain everything inside it. We're going to need 12 different entities that are going to do that. And he says, "V'tzofa azok in Ruach HaKodesh, Yaakov Avinu looked in Ruach HaKodesh and he saw, she'osit shevet Levi libodel mishar ha'shvatim, elavod mikzah Hashem." Shevet Levi would become an exception. Shevet Levi would become a Shevet that was not one of Klal Yisrael. They were above it. But that means Klal Yisrael is now lacking a 12th unit. V'hoya mechuyev she'isvasev oit Shevet Acha l'malz mekoyim v'shvotim chol sha'advarim l'hashtem mispa Shem Asif Dekah. So we needed another entity. It's not we got 11 people and it's great. It's 12 are very specific and each one stands at a different intersection. And therefore, once Shevet Levi left the general pile and he became a different entity, we now needed another person. The only way it could happen would be there would be no real Shvatim born. There wouldn't be an outsider that would join. And that the one of the Shvatim would contain both. So this was a big chshivas for Yosef that he had whatever it took to become another entity. Within him, he had two entities. One would be Menashe, one would be Yosef. So that's the mile of this prayer. So it's not really what he gained from it, as much as what this says about Yosef, that he could fill in two spots. Okay, the next one now. This parasha, because we have brachos over here, brachos in the sense of, Yaakov being giving brachos, there is a lot of talk over here, and we've shown him about what brachos are, how they work, and so on. We've seen some of it in Toldos, there's a lot about it. And here also, the first one is It says Yaakov Avinu's eyes were heavy, and he asked them to bring over the children and to kiss them and to hug them. So he sort of Sfarno says V'yishak lem v'yichabek lehem. So he says Kidei sheyizdabek shetadabek nafshebem b'toch lemabracha. You know, it's bracha requires a certain closeness between the mevarech and the mesbarech, and that's why it's not just an Adam Gadol who I know I'm somebody acquainted with. I was at some sort of event with him, and people come and go every minute to ask for bracha, and he was kind of annoyed, and he told me, you know, I've become a brachas ATM machine. If people think they just press on the buttons, and brachas come out. A bracha requires that the person feel a connection to the one he's giving a bracha to. And we'll see in the next piece a little bit more of archav, what a bracha is. And that was the reason why Yitzchak sent out Esav to go hunt for him and bring him something that he likes. Because if there's a sense of kirva for the person that is giving the bracha to the person getting the bracha is a lot more effective. And we'll see the next piece. We'll have more of a sense of what a bracha is. So that's why he wanted to hug them, kiss them, to get that. The next one, it says, Vayishach Yisroel Yimino, Vayashas HaRosh Ephraim, Vu Atzor, and a small Rosh Menashe, Sikil HaSyorik Nasha B'chor. So the Rebbeinu Bechai over here says as follows. V'hoysa bracha chal alein b'smichazu. Putting his hands on the head was actually formed the connection for the bracha. Kashakosu b'yeshua v'yismach HaSyorim Olav, So putting his hands on Yeshua transferred Ruach HaKodesh to the Nisma. Let's talk a little bit about this word, Vayotzel, which is a key word. It comes from in Parshas Bamidbar by Moshe Rabbeinu and Shemesh Kedem. But I want to discuss a little bit over here. There are two ways in which we transfer things from point A to point B. One is a step-by-step physical transfer. So I take a something and I move it from my hand to your hand. So there's a certain entity has traveled from point to point. That is called in the Lashon of the Kabbalah Sfarim more, Hishtalshelus. It's like Hishtalshus would be similar to a chain. You lower a chain down into a well, so every single link links up with the one before. So it works because there's a link that's holding on to the pail, and a link is holding to that, the link to that, link to that, and it's a step by step progression. Cause and effect are very clearly marked. So there are certain elements like Hashbaruch's Hashgacha that work that way. The lower forms of his Hashgacha works that way, where A leads to B, leads to C, leads to D, and you can sort of, it's like billet boards, balls hitting each other, and then you get the one to go to wherever you want it to go. That type of arrangement. That is one type of mahalach, interaction of Kadosh Baruch Hu with the world. Nature works exclusively like that, certainly in the macro world. There's a tit for tat. If something moved, something pushed it. If something pushed it, something pulled, and so on. There's another type of a transfer, similar to in electricity. You have like an induction coil. You have like two coils, and the proximity transfers magnetic field, electric field from one to the other. It's certainly the way it appears to us, to the naked eye, it's kind of strange. When wires are touching, so it's easy to picture it. Wire A touches B, B touches C. I picture it as something moving from point to point to point. When you have these two coils of proximity, it's kind of strange. It's almost like somehow it's mashpi on the other one. We don't give it that type of feel of, you know, pillar boards. It's more a general type of ashpa. Let's take it in a different context totally. We'll get a feel for the same type of thing. There are times when I convince you to buy something with logical point by point argument. I'm selling you a car. Okay, Mr. So-and-so, you need a car that is going to have seat six people, get this amount of gas per gallon, have this record in terms of safety and repairs, and come in on this price. This car fits it, and therefore you're going to buy it. That is sort of a logical point-by-point argument. There's a time when I just show you an ad of the car driving down a country road, and somehow it influences you to buy it. It's hard to say what was the point-by-point-by-point argument. It has ashpor. It influenced you. It affected you, influenced you. Not easy to, we'd be hard put to say this point fit this and so on and so forth. So we, in terms of ruchnius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a type of hashpah that is, we will call hishtalshus, where things are clearly marked off like billet boards hitting each other, billet balls hitting each other. There's a second type of effect, which is an effect, and things happen, and hard to put to find and say what happened. You have Ashkocha, let's say sometimes you have wars that are won or lost, and you say, okay, they attacked here, there's a weak spot here, they came in through there, and you can pretty much map it out. You'll sometimes think, why did the Soviet Union collapse in 1990? Nobody really knows. I mean, there's a thousand one svaris, but the end is it just disintegrated. You'd have a very hard time to put a finger on it and say, this caused this, like World War I. This guy was shot. Then they joined with this one. So, I mean, the how communism collapsed just happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashpa comes into this world. So you have a certain level of hashgacha where you see things, moving things. And then there is hashpa of things that come into this world al derech, like to be ma'atzil. And that's why brachas are called ha'atzala. Hey, Aleph, Tzadik, Lamed, Hey. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows a bracha, is mashpia bracha into this world. The lashon that's used in Rashi says over there in Bamidbar, like when you light from a candle, you can light an innumerable amount of candles from a candle, because when you take, if I'm giving out kezesim from a matzah, I can only give out as many kezesim in the matzah, because that's sort of a tit for a tat. That's like ishtalsos. If I'm being mashpia, then what's the difference, 1 or 100? It's just very different. There's a constant flow, and it doesn't work with a sort of a structured piece by piece. A bracha is a way of allowing for that type of hashpa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the bria. That's what a bracha is about. And therefore he says, kedei sheya'atzu rochesh asma, so that they have this flow of bracha onto this nismach. So basically what you're doing is, you're sort of providing a pathway for a flow from elyonim to tachtainim. And this was the concept of smicha. When Chacham gave smicha, that being semech yad, was this type of allowing for a flow. Gam birchas kahanim nesias kapayim. Birchas kahanim also works by stretching out your hands. How does that work? Kilo yitochen lekoyin anesias kapov sheyismech asyarav kachnok v'Yisrael. You couldn't obviously put your hands on everybody in Kal Yisrael. Valzeho yopiris kapov lemalo. He would stretch out his hands upwards. Kidei lehatzel koyach abrocha lemato v'mkor abrocha l'yoyna. So he would sort of create a bridge for a flow of Shefa from Lamal to Mata. That's what you're enacting when you raise your hands at Beis Kanim. Then it says, V'hu sikel es yadav. So the word sikel, the Targum also teaches, comes like from the word seichel, which means there was a rhyme and a reason behind it. And he says, so this is a little bit Kabbalistic, but again, we'll teach it just, Rabbeinu B'chai does say it. The highest point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha is called Chachma, and it's called Bina, and it's called Deya. It means parallel to a human being. When a person acts with his faculties, he thinks about it, decides on it, enacts it, brings it out, etc. There's a clear progression going from the shoresh down. The hands are what I do, but hopefully whatever it is that I'm doing has come from some thought inside. So parallel to that, using that as a muscle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhagas we trace from a very clear shoresh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be still good on Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants this to happen so that that takes place. We sense a plan, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants out of it, and it takes form and shape and is enacted. So in one pattern, the machshava, the deepest part of machshava, which is called chachma, is the root of what happens, and the hands are that which actually does it. So just like when I decide to build a table, it is my decision process slowly going to my arms and my hands and the actual making it. That's the progression. Sikel es yadav means, he says, he attached. He connected his seichel to his hands. In other words, it was a way of creating, again, a pathway from a certain sheirish and mucker downwards. So that's Suyidechem Kodesh Uvorchas Hashem. After you go through Kodesh, Uvorchas Hashem. So basically, let's sort of get a little bit of a sense that we can. It's one of the things the Rishonim talk about this. Again, I bring the Rishonim different parshas wherever they are. What is a bracha exactly? Is it a prophecy? Don't worry, everything will be okay. So that could work as a nevuah, in which case. You know, he asked, well, why was the problem with Yitzhak and Yaakov, with Yitzhak and Esav? I mean, he was praying for Esav, so why would Yaakov end up with it? If it's a nevuah, then he's telling you what's going to happen. It's not his, up to him. He's just telling you what's already in the star, so to speak. On the other hand, if it's a tefillah, so daven for him. And it's a tefillah. It was a tefillah betos. I mean, if he's giving the brachas to Yaakov when he thinks it's Esav, he's really being misfowl. So what is a bracha? So the basic point is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avram, he told him veheyeh bracha. Veheyeh bracha means like this: a tzaddik accomplishes certain things in the world through his maisim. He goes around the world. He's misak in the world. He does good. He helps people, he changes people, etc. Those are pe'ulos of a tzaddik, and they do much good. But it nothing supernatural happens with that. To create good, no person can create, and that's not going to happen either. But a person can become a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's new hashpa, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia, new good into the bria, a person can become a part of that. By, if he's a tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows himself, allows his hashpah to come through the tzaddik. Now, it also means, it doesn't mean that the tzaddik can give a bracha, this type of bracha, we're talking about to anyone, just anyone, because if he doesn't feel that there's a connection, it's not going to happen. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants bracha to come into this world through the tzaddik, and that's why he told Avraham Veheye bracha. It manifests itself in different ways. A tzaddik does something, and things prosper and blossom. So I see that this tzaddik is undertaking to do things, and things are working well because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Ashpa through him, whatever you want to call it. It can work for people as well with this process. So this is what the process of bracha was. This is why putting hands on you is a type of, it's the right type of connection with bracha. That's a bit of bechaya. Next one is a Sfarnu who deals with another issue. The Sfarnu and Rabbi Bechaya will deal with the following issue. What does it mean the Malach should give you a bracha? So this Sfarnu says, all this Sfarnu answers is a Malach Golos Yimikol Ro Yivarech Siva Shamalach Golos Yivarech Asanorim Im Einam Rinu Bechas Chabol Te Emtsoi. If they're not worthy of a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu without Emtsoi, then Malach should do it. That's a little bit treading on soft ground. In other words, there's a very big peda, a very, very big peda in halacha, not to be mispal to anything, anyone other than Baruch Hu. The truth is, Hilchas Avodah Zarah deals more with the actual worship than it does with the belief. Hilchas Avodah Zarah is not focused on beliefs, that's the Yesod HaTorah. Hilchas Avodah Zarah is focusing to, worshiping to, davening to, any act of focus on some being other than Baruch Hu is bad. So he's saying over here, Kilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu's first choice is not a list of Malach. That a Malach could be a Mevarech is something that is a little bit dicey. It's a little bit strange. And the Abarbanel, I'm sorry, the Rabbi Bechai will say, on the next page, will say a different shot. V'achakein chosem v'or b'achreine shekor ha-Malach ha-goyel v'oma b'kir v'oretz k'lashoyin k'shmi b'kir v'oy. So he says, "V'yigaloray b'kerav ha'aretz." He says it's like Kishmi b'kerav, but doesn't explain that. "V'tzorchat alodas ki ilu hischol Yaakov tfilosoi min hamalach." Maybe it's a kitzitzius. If Hamalach Hagoel would have stopped with the words Hamalach Hagoel, that would be kitzitz benetiels. Is a basically a avodah zarah. It literally, it means to cut the branch off the trunk. It's a way of saying avodah zarah, where you're taking the particular koach that has no koach of its own, and you're ke'ilu giving it some sort of koach. It's as if the drill bit becomes the drill. You know, that type of thing. So that's not good. Aval hischol b'mila solokim. So the Rabbi Nochai says it's one long continuation. He says this explains it. Let's explain Rabbi Nochai here, and it really touches a lot on the Mekubalim's on what the Mekubalim did with Tefillah. It's a question that the Rivash was asked. A lot of Kabbalah, it was one of the major understandings of the point of Kabbalah is to be mechaven in your Tefillahs specific Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what's called davening with kavanas arizal, and so on. That every shame in Shemoneh Esrei has a different kavana, and if you understand the kavanas, which is specific needles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and specific angles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc., your tefillah is greatly enhanced. The problem is So are we back again in the world of Chassidus and Katz Bintias? I understand something. Suppose I'm Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a Sifri in Dvarim. It says, Elov V'loy V'loy L'midoysav. We're not supposed to daven to our Kodesh Baruch Hu's Midah V'rachmin. We're not supposed to, and that's all the controversy about Midah V'rachmin, Galgalai. You're supposed to daven to one and only one entity, and that's our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Anything else is treif pasul. So how do we understand it? So the basic understanding goes as follows. Let's give a mashal. Somebody has a very, very big corporation, and I'm trying to get some sort of favor out of it. So let's take three scenarios. So I want this person who's the head of a huge corporation, very, very wealthy man, that he should give me a sum of money from some corporate charity account, whatever it is. So I sit by him and I say, I need this, this. First says, okay, it's a done deal. So I tell him, could you please sit and write down the check and fill out the stub, and so on. And I want you to do all the work and send it off to me and so on and so forth. That's a bit of a chutzpah. That's not his job. On the other hand, I have a different strategy. I go to the secretary and I say, listen, I know your boss writes a lot of stucker checks. We're good friends. Why don't you sort of write out a stucker check on your own, kind of wink, wink, from the account and send it off to me. Anyway, he doesn't know what's the difference. You write out the checks anyway. You sign for him anyway. So why don't you just sign off on it and so on? That would be also not looked very favorably upon. Might help, might end up with the jail sentence of becoming president, but it's not good form. So the right thing is you appeal to the owner, to the one that has the account, and you ask him, could you ask your secretary to do the paperwork for this and this and this? I know somebody, a younger man, at Israel. Israel is a kind of very informal country. Maybe a formal would be better. And this younger man was applying to Rabbi Yonason David to learn in his kollel. This younger man actually is the Rav Rashi of Eretz Yisrael, David Lau. He was his wife was a neighbor of mine, so I know him. He told me the story. So he went into, he met the Rabbi Yonason, Rabbi Yonason talked him learning. He said, fine. And Rabbi Yonason pulled out a few sheets and he says, you'll have to take care of this. So he asked Rabbi Yonason if he has a pen. So basically told him, I'm not the secretary here. I've accepted you in yeshiva. The rest of it is between you and a secretary. I'm that's not my role. So Rafutna and Chaim Levin was very formal, and they had this hierarchy, which in Eretz Yisrael is, it's almost the polar opposite. But there was such a mahalo. The understanding of the Mekubalim is the ideal tefillah is when you shtel tzut Ribbono Shel'Olam and you ask Ribbono Shel'Olam for the appropriate hanhaga. So if I can understand and map out how HaKadosh Baruch Hu directs his shefa, that's the shleimus of Avodas HaAdam. You're partner to it because you're mapping out the understanding. That was one of the major branches of understanding. What is, what's the purpose, of understanding the Mahal HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. So it's just like if you go to a doctor for some complex treatment and you understand what's happening, you're a much bigger partner in the process. You understand what's happening. You couldn't cooperate with it. It makes you a much stronger part in the process. So over here also, that's what the Rebbe Rochai says. He starts out by saying Ha'olokim. Ha'olokim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as you are now Hashem Havaya is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it. Elokim is the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he begins to be mashpia in our world. And therefore, he's saying to Elohim should now flow into the Malach Golosi. Similar to the Pasuk, Ki Malach HaVitzavah HaKashmach HaKodrachecha. HaKashmach HaKodrachecha points Malachim to go with you. So when I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send Malachim to watch over me, it's an appropriate thing. So basically, the whole thing comes together. He says, by verse 16, he said, Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has now taken charge and control of my life and given me, may he send those same messengers to so it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu being told to send the messenger, which is a certain shlemus, as opposed to saying Hashem take care of it. That's the point that Rav Chaim is making. Okay, and then he says, "Va'oz yiched v'simachas yiched v'yiches hashalem." There's an akuda here. Why it's a better way of doing things? Yichud shalem means I understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fullness. Hashem Elokim is a yichud shalem. It means as follows: a person who's a scientist and understands the world in its own right without feeling there's anything behind it, in terms of a force, anything like that. That's Mekatzis Benetias Lemahadrin. That's an Epicurus. A person who understands that Hashem, everything's Hashem, so that's fine. It's not a Shlemistic Avoda. We understand that a person who understands the incredible complexity of the world and sees Hashem's hand in that has a much deeper sense of understanding the Ribbono Shel Olam. I understand the Ribbono Shel Olam in this complexity. So the Yichud Shalom means we combine the understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the only force in the world and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he manifests itself in this world. That's what's called the Yichud Shalom. And that's why Havaya Elokim is that. And that's why a person, for the person who just says everything's Hashem, it's wonderful, but there is something missing. So if a person is not a Gribal Seichel, a Nidra Das, okay, so let's see. But a person who has a Oimek, so the same way like in Halacha, if a person says, you know, I don't care to learn the details, whatever Hashem says, that's what I'm going to do, there's not a Milo that's lacking. It's when you understand both the complexity and how it manifests in this world, and it all being a HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifesting itself like a drill with many bits, that's when you have a full picture of everything. Okay, any questions, any points? Yes.
Rabbi, in the Sforno, when he said that, and he mentions the Emtzai, Is he saying that, it could it be that he also understands along the lines of Rabbeinu Bechaya that...
It could be. I don't know. I would like to think so. But there, you know, the Rabbeinu Bechaya was a Mekubal. The Sfarnu was an Italian and more philosopher. I would like to think that it's always, it's obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu through an Emtzai. It has to show him that it's, but he's not... He doesn't express it that way. But yes, it's very well. I would like to think that Sforno is along the same lines.
He also speaks the Birchascha. He seems to be the Sforno's paraphrase of Yaakov Avinu seems to be speaking to
the Birchascha built him. Sorry. Good. I hear. Unless I certainly would like to think that that's the Mahalo. Yes, correct. Good.
What would be the Inyan of a Birchas Hedyot?
Yes.
If like if the Ribbono Shel Olam is Shefa is going through the Tzaddik, so then what would be the Maila Bechalal of their bracha from someone else?
I don't know, but a Birchas Hedyot, because it's only Hechetimtze, if you were asking, let's say, a Hedyot for a Pesach Din, Lamash, let's take a simple example. If I need money, obviously the money is going to come from somebody who has money, who's wealthy. But as a Shadlin, I can go to somebody who's not wealthy, but maybe his shadlanus will help. If the bracha was giving your own quote unquote resources, then what if you have very little schosim, if the tzaddik was creating the yeshuas and his bank of schosim, then it obviously would mean silly to a nobody and get a bracha from him, but once the person is only a maybe a Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted, and let's say it was a Mizrach HaBracha, the person was a Soyer and he gave you a Bracha, Maybe it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted at that moment to send the bracha through him. It takes away the impassibility. So just like if my job is not to give you my money, but to be mishtavel by somebody else, or to be the UPS guy, or whatever it is, then it's not impossible anymore. That's why I think it's Birchas Hedyah, like Birchas Hedyah, Kal Nerecha.
Is it just a guess then? I mean, there's no definitive mile. It's not that we know that there's a
right, but we sometimes feel there's an Ace Watson, and all it requires is this tiny chibur. My Shver Zechon Evracha was. He was a very big Talmid Chacham. He was a medakdik halacha, but he also liked a lamda shechap of some sort. And like you know, he liked going straight to the Gemara. So he would build the sukkah. And my wife was the youngest at the time, so she helped him with the list. She helped. So he would make this whole sukkah. It was a porch. It was a small porch. It was not that big sukkah. But my shver used to have a tremendous hanah. The last piece to make the sukkah kosher was a lovet, and it needed a matchstick put into some place to create the lovet. So he would do the whole thing. He would put up all the sides. Then I would tell my wife, and now put the matchstick in here. This whole sukkah is not kosher. This matchstick is what makes the sukkah kosher. Then we get a kick out of it. But the point was that... Sometimes what you need, it's like in the old days when they had fuses. I don't know if anybody knows what fuses are. Today we have circuit breakers. Those days they had these little glass things. If anybody learned an old Yeshivisha place or Sisha place, maybe they may still have them. And they fit it in there. And they had a piece of metal inside and they would burn out at a certain temperature. A circuit breaker, you can always just flip back on. A fuse, you have to replace. They usually blew in the middle of the night, and there was no place to buy fuses. So many people knew that putting in a penny worked. It also ran the risk of burning the building down because the penny could handle a much bigger circuit and lost all effect. But the point was, all you needed was to fill in the blank of that piece over there. So if a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us in that spot, a person in the spirit to give a bracha, it may be he's serving as a conduit, but someone chose him. But since the bracha is only a conduit, that's why you have the Alti Brachas Hedyah Kal Nerecha. There's a strong sense and rotzen that this is an Ace Rotzen. Maybe that's it. Okay, good. A good vach. Kol tov. Bye. Vach, Dani.